Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We are going to be looking at BRICS Plus and also talking about, what is going right with it? Where could some of the issues be? I mean, they have been trying to shape a new world order, but according to Professor Antoni van Niekerk, who is a professor of international and diplomacy studies at the Thabo Mbeki African School of Public and International Affairs, they lack shared values and a unified identity. And the prof joins us on the line. Prof, thank you so much for your time. So remind us again, what makes up BRICS Plus out of what, the listeners may be aware of when it relates to BRICS?
Yeah, good evening. It's nice to talk to you. I think it's my first time. and indeed, our attention is on the budget. But we're also spending a lot of money in our international relations to partner with the right team, so to speak. And I think we all know that from next year, South Africa will host the Group of 20, the so-called G20 of strong economies. And it's going to cost us a fortune, to host them in Joburg, 700 million rand. It's a lot of money, and so people ask, what is the return on the investment? And so by the same token, South Africa has chosen to join the club, which is called BRICS. We now call it BRICS Plus, because we were invited to the original BRICS alliance of Global South or developing countries, or emerging economies, as they call it, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and then South Africa. I see people make the mistake to say that President Zuma was responsible for getting us into BRICS. It was actually President Mbeki, interestingly, a few years earlier, who prepared the ground for us to join BRICS, because he saw, and our Department of Foreign Affairs saw, the advantages of teaming up with these strong developing economies. BRICS has settled down. It's an influential club. It's expanded membership because you said BRICS Plus. That plus stands for four new members: Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. Saudi Arabia, we can discuss later. They were invited, but they're sitting on the sidelines. They don't know whether they want to join BRICS Plus formally or not. And so now we have nine members, and South Africa is in the mix, in the middle of this. On paper, it's a powerful alliance or group of states that can, if they want to, influence global affairs. Combined, they represent almost half of the world's population. Can you believe that? The big ones there are India and China, of course. So 3.5 billion together. If you put their economies together, it's about a third of the global economy. That's also very significant. And then thirdly, they produce almost half of the world's crude oil. Yeah. So if they want to work together, they can definitely shape, global agendas. But I do argue in my essay that I wrote recently that there are fault lines inside the BRICS alliance that will prevent them from doing this.
So let's talk about one of those fault lines. What are they?
Well, let me start with the easy one. What do you call this thing? When President Ramaphosa attended the summit 2 weeks ago in Kazan, which is in Russia, he called it a platform. The Indian Prime Minister calls it a group. The Chinese call it a family. So it's not clear what exactly, is it an alliance, a group, or is it something stronger? Is it an organization? I do say, I wrote somewhere that it might evolve into an organization that has a sort of a constitution or a foundational document that sets out the rules, the agencies, how it makes decisions, how it behaves, how you can join, what are the fees, and so on and so forth. I mean, the African Union is an example, of such an organization. When you join the AU or the UN or the World Health Organization, there are rules of the game. Now, BRICS is not yet there, Because my second point is they don't necessarily have a shared value set that can act as a glue that keeps them together when they face, you know, issues in the global economy. For example, some of these BRICS Plus members are democracies, including ours, or India, or Brazil, and some are not. You know, the Arab states, member states, are autocracies or monarchies. They are princes and monarchs who participate. Mm. And some even call China and Russia authoritarian dictatorships. I might not agree with this, but it gives you the idea that what binds the members together is not very clear. And in the absence of shared values, this is also true, by the way, for the government of national unity. If they don't have a strong base, a foundation of shared values, then they can't face the world out there. And I do make the point that the one coalition partner, President Ramaphosa, said in Kazan, Russia is our friend and ally.
Yeah.
And then the DA jumped up and said, no, but Ukraine is our friend and ally from the same government. So it tells you the kind of intricacies that will prevent BRICS from playing a unifying role.
As you know, we get to the end, and I'd love to have you back on the show because there's so much that you said there that we can unpack. But as we get to the end, what's the one thing that you would like to see around this conversation?
I think it's, well, maybe two or three things. The first one is, let me start with home. I think it's a very bitter and unpleasant debate that is now taking place between the DA and the ANC in the government of national unity over who we declare as friends and who are our enemies. It means something very important. It is that our government is not united around the same understanding of our national interest. And if they don't get that right very soon, then it might break or split or reduce the impact of the government of national unity. That will have consequences for us and our economy. So that's the first thing. You know, we need to have a much broader debate about what we call the national interest. Which club and which alliance will serve our interests the best? How do we choose between the one or the other? Can we choose both? Can we be friends with America and with Iran and with China and with Russia?
Right.
These are difficult questions. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I want BRICS to succeed because BRICS is a very healthy counterpoint to the Western-dominated liberal world order controlled by the Americans. They are very powerful militarily and economically, but their moral authority is slipping away. And somebody like the BRICS Alliance might have to stand up and rediscover the moral compass for humanity. And I'll put my money on the BRICS.
Okay, you'll put your money on the BRICS. But I look forward to having another conversation with you as we, you know, evolve the conversation. And I'm sure the listeners who heard your first responses would agree that there's so much to unpack there. But thank you so much for your time, Prof. That is Professor Antoni Fanikar, who is a professor of international and diplomacy studies at the Thabo Mbeki African School of Public and International Affairs.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.